Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back for this Thursday episode. We got some action today, man.
It is a juicy, juicy episode.
Oh, it's real juicy. Which is ironic, them being in the desert, saying things are juicy.
Well, it's a juicy patch of spice, so, you know. We left off with Gurney yesterday, you know, grabbing a whole fistful of sand or, you know, scooping a handful of sand. And we see, you know, from his perspective, looking at his hand, we can see the very familiar dark, you know, cinnamon colored spice mixed in with the sand.
Yeah.
And he remarks to himself, juicy, juicy.
Yeah. So I guess this just means that there's lots of spice in whatever patch they've decided to land in.
They hit the old mother load,
there you go.
As it were.
Shout out to Mother Load in Atlanta. Awesome antiques market. Mother spelled the same way. Then it's L-O-D-E.
The way that Mother Load is spelled?
That is correct. Yep. I've bought a number of pieces of furniture from them. They're really nice. Yeah. Really good prices, too.
Well, now that you've mentioned it, all their prices are going to go skyrocketing because of the massive Dune Minute audience that's going to go.
Dune Minute bump, yeah.
Not sponsored, by the way.
No, of course not. Check out these prices, Jack!
What do they mean? Which one of these prices is better?
So from the air, or I guess the ground, if he's controlling the harvester as well, the spotter says that worms are on their way, and they and that machine kicks into gear, and we get to see the same like tiller arms as the Harkonnen harvester.
Yeah, again.
Notably fewer of them.
Yeah, there's only three in this one.
Yeah,
this harvester is kind of a combination of the Harkonnen one and the Atreides one.
Yeah.
But it's also got like its own characteristics and things to it.
Well, to be fair, we never saw the front of the Atreides one, so it could have those same mechanisms.
It could. Well, we do kind of see the front of it. It looks more like a piece of, you know, construction equipment rather than like having the little feelers and everything. But Art and Soul goes on to talk about the little feelers, actually, in the section about this harvester. And Tanya LaPointe, who's one of the executive producers and the author of Art and Soul, specifically makes mention of how the feelers are there almost as like identifiers to determine if there's actually spice that needs to be picked up.
Kind of
like the way that you would have sensors, you know, looking at your pulse when if you've ever had an EKG and you've got like multiple sensors all over your body. These sensors are feeling around for, I guess, there's some kind of physical property to spice that it can detect.
So, okay. That's interesting. I took it a different direction.
Initially, we thought it was a way to just like help kick it up.
Yeah. And I still thought that, I mean, just from the close-up shots that we get and then this minute, it looks like those arms are just there to kind of like just punch the surface and it makes dust. And I'm assuming there's some kind of like vacuum system behind it that sucks that dust and spice up.
Well, behind these, what I thought was interesting. So we talked about this earlier in the season, the difference between the Harkonnen Harvester in part one and part two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in part one, it was more of like a machine with two buckets on, or two wheels with like a bunch of buckets on them that went the opposite direction. One went clockwise, one went counterclockwise, and just kind of like kicked it all up and sucked it in.
Right.
This harvester, the smuggler harvester, has not only the little feelers, but then those same buckets behind the feelers.
Huh.
Which I thought was a very unique, you know, kind of combination of old and new.
I wonder if this means, or I wonder if it's meant to invoke this, that this is basically something put together from scraps of old harvesters.
It would stand to reason that it's either like super refurbished old harvesters or it is kit bashed.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we look at Gurney's suit, like he is very clearly not wearing a still suit of Fremen design. His entire, you know, suit and everything looks entirely kitbashed. It almost looks like his like boots are duct taped to his pants.
And his piss pocket is clearly visible.
Yeah. So like,
I'm kidding. It's not.
No. But yeah, like Gurney's suit itself is like kitbashed to hell and back. And when we see, you know, a close up shot of him as he's walking along, we can see his face shield is just completely fucking like smashed up and scratched to shit. So
they don't get all the best technology.
No, I don't think smugglers are necessarily going to be the first in line for all the new hot shit. So
yeah, that makes sense. So as Gurney is walking ahead of the harvester, we get just a bunch of general radio chatter. And we get a close-up on his feet as he's walking, and it looks like the ground is super unstable.
Well, yeah, you have this giant-ass machine behind you just fucking tearing it all up. Yeah. So, but he's doing like a very deliberate, slow walk.
Mm-hmm. And as we all know, when you put vibrations into sand, loose sand, it starts to take on like fluidic properties.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically like walking over thick water.
I imagine, I know you've done this before, but if you've ever had to walk through like a super muddy area immediately after a thunderstorm.
Sure.
You know, growing up in Florida with hurricanes and stuff happening all the time, we've had to walk through like super muddy areas. We've had to walk through like water up to your like ankles or knees. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not fun to walk through that kind of shit.
It's not. The lake that I grew up on, we used to hit golf balls across the lake, see if we could drive across the lake.
Yeah.
And drive golf balls across the lake. And
I got the context.
Yeah. No, I don't know. But we would need to go retrieve the golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a one section of the lake that was really like marshy.
Many a shoe got stuck in that marsh. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Oh, this was, and it was after a particular storm that I remember like the mud, I think I sank up to like mid thigh.
Yeah.
It was like crazy deep.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully,
that shit's terrifying too. Cause you can't do shit.
No. And it was just like one leg, thankfully. So I was able to get myself out, and you know, obviously my brothers were there with me. So it was, we had, you know, people to help, but it was, yeah, it was crazy. Like, cause it just looked like ground that was just fine to walk on. Cause two steps away, it was actually fine.
Suddenly I understand all these quicksand comments from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though quicksand is technically a different thing than just mud.
Yes. Yeah. It is a real thing. Shout out to John Mulaney's quicksand bit. If you're coming down I-90, you want to take I-95. I-90's got a little bit of quicksand in the middle of it. So Gurney is, you know, scanning the distance. And when he looks at a particular dune, we see some kind of disturbance. And I wanted to see how you describe this, because I had a little bit of a hard time finding the right words for this.
Yeah. So it's weird because like he's doing his scanning, and then like he stops, something catches his eye, and he calls for a halt.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the, you know, fist raise thing, and
yeah,
you see the pilot, so to speak, driver, whatever you want to call him, of the harvester, like reach down for the emergency brake, and there's the loud like noise and everything, right?
Yeah.
And then like we're looking at Gurney, and then the camera switches and it looks at the dune, and to me it looks like there's just like a weird rectangular jump real quick in the sand, and yeah, like it looks like someone was like maybe trying to push something up, like a flap up or whatever that they were maybe hiding under.
Yeah. And like initially, and we'll talk, I mean, obviously we're going to talk more about it here in a second, but it initially looked like it was a blanket underneath the sand, like maybe like an inch or two underneath the sand, and someone had like punched it from behind.
To me, it looked more like someone was underneath a piece of plywood.
Mm, okay.
Because it was a little more rigid.
Yeah,
rigid all the way through.
Sure.
We
get, so this happens twice, I believe, like this disturbance.
Well, there's the small disturbance once, and then mm-hmm. Gurney has his laser gun prepared, which I forgot to mention yesterday. When Gurney hops off of the harvester, we see him with not only the laser gun on his right hip, and it's kind of like a laser rifle, but not like a super long-barreled laser rifle. But then on his left hip, he has not one, but two blades. Felt very, like, future samurai kind of, like, appearance with the double blades, but then also the gun, but he's got his spacesuit on kind of thing. I don't know. It was a cool aesthetic.
That's cool, yeah. Well, you know, Gurney's a master swordsman.
He is.
So having two and him being able to fight double, you know, double bladed is not out of the question.
Especially in the desert with not having a shield, because shields attract the worms.
Exactly.
But Gurney and some of the folks behind him all have their laser guns trained on this, you know, weird thing happening in the dune in front of them. And the sand jumps again, and this time it doesn't fall back down, but a giant rectangular piece of metal comes hauling ass towards Gurney.
And it kind of slides across the desert flat for a second.
Yep.
And then looks like it maybe dips a little low and gets knocked off kilter. And then we see exactly
And it's that very like flat rectangular piece, and it's booking it towards Gurney. Mm-hmm. So all he can do in this moment is, you know, leap out of the way.
Well, that happens next minute.
Oh, shit.
My
notes say the giant metal rectangle leaps out of the ground.
Yeah. And it's starting to book it towards them, and we get him saying the very first little.
We have my, and then we have our cut.
So, I really want to make a Finding Nemo.
Mine?
Yeah. Finding Nemo parrot or the seagulls joke, but yeah, I'll not.
We all thought it.
Yeah, we all thought it. Yeah, so we're going to get to see what is Gurney's next time when we get back together. It's like, mine, I found it first.
All right, dude. God fucking damn it. Anyways, the Dune Minute is online. Do you have any book notes or anything before we trail off? Or are you going to save them?
We are firmly in book territory, but I'm going to save them for tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I think we'll wrap it from there, because the only thing that Art and Soul had about this, I think it's going to be a little more relevant in tomorrow's episode as well. So we will talk about that then. But in the meantime, the Dune Minute is online. You can find us on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap this week up. I can't believe we're already, you know, almost at Friday's episode.
Quick week.
Anyways, we'll see you then.
All right, see ya.